Gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Bitch, you guessed it. I'm still with my nigga. Coming to us. I can't remember.
I've been popping my bills in a bit. Keeping it lit. Me and my clique. Me and my clique. Me and my clique.
Well, hey there. It is the sixth episode of the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast, and hopefully Julio Jones is out there and he's stopped running and catching all over the Panthers. I am your league commissioner and host, Nick, owner of the $6 million McManus, and through 4 weeks we have our lone standing undefeated team, Full Hauschka, run by GM Scott, followed by a trio of teams at 3-1, five are at 500. And a trio at 1-3, and our resident Cleveland Brown, Darius Hayward Harambe Watch, run by soon-to-be-fired general manager Pip. We will hear from him later. And right now we have an in-studio guest. We've brought back Tim to the Cumulus Studios. Welcome back, Tim. How's it going?
It's going well. I'm glad to be back. I was on the first two pods, and I won the first 2 weeks. And the past two I've not been on, I've lost, so I'm hoping the trend continues.
I'm telling you, there is such a thing as the podcast bump, and if anyone's seen it, it was Duncan, who for the first time last week was on. And speaking of Duncan, let's just jump right into that matchup. It's Austin, Bend It Like Beckham Jr. versus Duncan, Marcus in Recreation. Duncan got the semi-pro podcast bump being on last week. 10-point win over you, Tim, led by a strong QB, RB1, RB2, Jordan Howard at flex. Subpar performances from his wide receivers. Austin snuck away with a win Monday night with 7 points from Stephon Diggs over Pip, really led by Jordan Reed, who had his biggest performance of the season. So looking at this week's matchup between the two, Austin catches a pretty big break this week, also having the Seahawks on bye, so no defense kicker Doug Baldwin for Duncan, but he does get Jordy Nelson back against a Giants defense that can be half decent if they really decide to show up. Duncan also gets a break by not having the Breeze Cooks connection to play against. Instead, he's given Tom Brady, who could be hell-bent on throwing for 500 yards and 7 touchdowns the rest of the season. What do you think about this matchup here?
Yeah, so definitely was bummed to lose that matchup to Duncan last week, especially after his receivers really didn't perform. But Duncan's team is really, really interesting. His running backs are going to carry him the whole year. Elliott, Gordon have just been going absolutely off. Jordan Howard is, as Duncan said last week, is actually looking like the sleeper that he was hoping he would be, especially with Langford hurt. I think in order for Duncan's team to truly be a contender going forward, he's going to have to upgrade his wide receiver 2 position. I mean, and his wide receiver 3. I don't know. Maybe he could use one of his running backs and another one of those receivers for a package to get a solid wide receiver 2, just because, especially in PPR, you know, if 1 week he has one of those running backs that doesn't do well, it's going to be really hard for him to have other players that can lift him back up. But anyway, congrats, Duncan, on getting the win last week. Definitely sucked. Austin's team, he's got Brady back. I see Brady going absolutely off this week. I think he's got a personal vendetta. I mean, it's his first game back after a suspension that he clearly didn't feel he deserved. And Cleveland's defense is certainly not the defense that wants to see him on his first game back. Not sure about Austin's running backs. Right now he's got Jeremy Hill and Dwayne Washington.
Yeah.
Obviously it hurts that he has no Doug Martin or Ryan Matthews right now. I don't know if either of them will play or neither of them will play. I'm not really sure. I haven't been up on their injury reports. His receiving core this week, it hurts not having Brandon Cooks, Victor Cruz, Brandon Marshall, Stephon Diggs. I mean, let's see, what did I write? Oh, yeah, Diggs and Marshall have both been really up and down. Diggs' combined score the first 2 weeks was 42.4, and his combined the past 2 weeks have been 13.1.
Yep.
And so which Diggs shows up this week, which Brandon Marshall shows up this week, Fozzie Whitaker and his flex, that's another, I just don't know. That's definitely a toss-up.
Yeah.
If I had to predict a winner this week, I think I would probably go with Duncan just because of his running back play and his flex play. And if Austin has big games from Diggs, Marshall, and possibly even Cruz, then I think Austin will take it.
Yeah, I'm looking at Austin's lineup, and I know it's early in the week, but I don't think he can play Dwayne Washington as an RB2. I mean, you could sub in Fozzie Whitaker there, who's still a stretch, but things are being split at the running back spot in Carolina between him and Cameron Artis Payne, so I'm not sure about that one, how that's going to work. And then he's got to keep up on Ryan Matthews. I mean, if he is questionable, they thought he would come back after the bye week, so I think he's set up to come back. Obviously, Austin's going to be paying attention and hopefully switching them out and getting him in there. But wide receivers, oh boy, like Cruz for Austin is a third option at best. Brandon Marshall's inconsistent, like you said, and Fitzgerald is busy throwing interceptions. Like they're going out of style. Houston's defense is third at limiting points to wide receivers, so that means Stephon Diggs could have a bad week as well. Duncan, on the other hand, Nelson is going up against Jekyll and Hyde Giants defense. Parker is coming off a week with two receptions, and Sanu is on the best going against the best defense in the NFL with an offense that likes to spread the ball around. So basically, he could get some catches, but Denver's defense could shut him down. That's a toss-up. I mean, all six of those guys could have big weeks if they're lucky, or they could all go for like a combined 10. Like that really, whoever's wide receivers play the best essentially wins this matchup.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, like you said, I didn't even realize this, but yeah, he's got Texans defense in there, and he's also got Stephon Diggs in there against Houston. So he kind of, I always try and stay away from that. I know this week I have Steelers against somebody that I have in. I can't remember exactly who it is, so I'm trying to look at other defenses. But it always sucks having that, because then if one of them goes off, it can really limit the other guy. But yeah, who's Duncan going to play at defensive kicker? I don't know how much that really going to matter.
There's options on the waiver wires for him to pick someone up. I think the Rams defense might still be available. They're a pretty decent play. You got the Chiefs. Oh, Chiefs and Jaguars aren't biased. That doesn't matter. Rams defense has been picked up, it looks like. So
yeah, so I mean, clearly he'll make a decision probably towards the end of the week. I mean, defenses and kickers are so up in the air. It might not help or hurt him in any way. But I think it definitely hurts him not having the Seahawks this week.
Yeah, now that I'm looking, because I did look at it last night and the Rams were there, and I thought Duncan might have put a play in for him, but he hasn't. But, I mean, the highest owned defense are the Jets, and the defense who's put up the most points are the Chiefs and Jags, who are both on bye, and then the Chargers defense. But, now that Duncan has waited too long, he's in a tough spot at defense. Kicker, again, you could just plug anyone in there and you'll get 6 or 7.
Yeah, you
points.
Can always pick up a kicker off the waivers and feel okay about
it. Yeah, pretty much. So in this matchup for me, it's full of guys who are just tit for tat. I mean, Brady against Luck, I think that's a wash with Indianapolis going up against that Bears defense. The wide receivers are all just a wash. The defenses are a wash because I don't think it matters who Duncan ends up picking up, although now maybe that could be a difference maker, but rarely are defenses the difference maker in a game unless you've got a team going on Monday night or something. Both the teams are built around guys going for boom or bust, and it's going to all come down to whose team has the bigger boom. And
agreed.
I think it's going to be – I still don't know. I thought by now I would be able to pick a team, and at this point I just can't. I can't pick someone who's going to win.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me too. My gut wants to go with Duncan just because he beat me last week, but I'm going to stick with that prediction. Duncan by 9.
Wow. All right. Next up, we've got Nick. That's Hokeback Mountain against Jordan, Mike Wallace, and Grom. It turns out Jordan drew the short stick of the week, having the second highest scoring team of the week, but had to go up against that 42 spot from Julio Jones. Thank you, Lord. He didn't get Kenyon Drake that he was trying to play for and only got 2 points from his RB poo. A couple surprising performances from Steve Smith and Demaryius Thomas, but he needed way more than he got to overcome Julio. Nick won his matchup, and it's a good thing he didn't play Luke, or they would have tied. Both like had 117.2, which is ridiculous. Three touchdown game from Michael Crabtree. That was 30 points, 33 points from Big Ben, and a solid week from his QB down to his wide receiver two spot. Overcoming three players getting less than 2 points, the Gronk, Cameron Artis Payne, a late addition to his starting roster over John Brown, who then remembered he's a professional wide receiver, and a negative one from the Panthers defense. So this week, the only player missing from this matchup is Jeremy Maclin, so it should be a full squad for both teams. The only question I see right now is who does Jordan play fill in at his flex? But Tim, what do you see in this matchup?
Well, for starters, is there a specific reason why he doesn't have David Johnson in his lineup?
Jordan?
Jordan. I'm seeing that he's got Wendell Smallwood and Damian Williams with David Johnson on the bench.
Oof. I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know if he's just screwing with people right now or if he's... I don't know. I can't imagine him keeping that. But anyway.
He's also still got Jeremy Maclin, who's on a bye on his roster. He hasn't dropped Chris Johnson, who's on IR. So maybe Jordan's been super busy and hasn't set his lineup yet, which would be so. I thought I saw him make some waiver wire moves, but.
Well, I mean, it is only Wednesday. There's still plenty of time to make a move. He does, although, have David Johnson playing tomorrow night, so he better get his shit together soon. But anyway, this is an interesting matchup. Last week, Jordan ran into just an unwinnable situation. I mean, like you said, Julio Jones, 42 points. I had him in my Hawaiian Time League, and he certainly helped me.
Did he fall to you at like
he
7 or 8?
He did fall to me to 6, by the way, yes. I believe Gurley, Elliott, and AP were all drafted before Julio, so I got him at the 6th spot.
That's unbelievable.
So my team's very good in that league. I'm looking forward to winning their money. But in terms of this league, Jordan, he just can't get a break. He just can't catch a break. I mean, week one, he had a bad matchup against me. I think he had a really bad matchup another week. And then last week, I mean, 119. He put up 119. I think that would have beaten over half of...
It would have beaten every single team other than me.
Yeah, and you crushed him.
Right.
So I think Jordan should be happy with the way his team played, even though he did get beat, obviously. I still don't love Jordan's quarterback position. He still is kind of going back and forth with Eli and Andy Dalton.
That's been bad since the draft.
And neither of them's really been very good this year. Yep. And I still don't know. I feel like it would be much better if he could stick with one and then have another, maybe another flex player on his bench. I don't know. That's just my opinion. David Johnson's a solid running back, and he's been solid all year, but I still don't know who Jordan's running back two is this year. He was, if you're to the point where you're asking Facebook if we can allow you to pick somebody up to start at your second running back position, that's not a good place to be in. Let's see, what else did I write about Jordan? So he's got, solid receiving core, no Maclin this week, definitely hurts. A few weeks ago, me and Jordan made a trade. It was Dorsett for Forsett, which has really not helped either of us. Jordan simply hasn't put him in while he's had him, and for me, he's just not been good. I think maybe this is the week he puts him in at the flex position. If Dez Bryant is able to play, he'll probably fill in that third receiver spot. So if it were me, I'd probably put in Philip Dorsett and hoping that he does a boom week, so to speak.
Right.
Marvin Jones and Demaryius have been big for Jordan, even though he's 1-3. I think that those two have been kind of steals for him in the draft. I still believe Jordan can turn his season around, I do have to say, but he's got to get some better matchups. In terms of Ferronik, he started off the season 0-1, and he's won 3 straight games. His second and third game, I believe he won by like the skin of his teeth, like 2 points or less, I believe, in both of those matchups. And so I still haven't been a true believer in Fronik's team until last week. He won 117-77, and his team is starting to actually take shape, I have to say. I mean, Roethlisberger is solid at the QB. Freeman and Hyde, I mean, Freeman, as you obviously know, he's been playing well the past 2 weeks. I guess last week, he only put 13.4, but that's still a solid 2 running backs to have. And he's got McKinnon on the bench, so he can play McKinnon anytime one of those two has a bye week, which I think is still a more solid 1-2 than a lot of people have right now.
Yeah.
His three receivers, I mean, Crabtree is looking like the best receiver on the Raiders right now.
Yep.
He's getting the most targets, and he's getting in the end zone. Kelvin Benjamin is back to the number one receiver at Carolina. Sterling Shepard has been a huge saving grace for Fronick this year. I mean, I don't think anyone believed he'd be putting up 11, 15, and 15 three straight weeks.
Until five last week, so.
That's true.
But that Vikings defense is very tough.
Exactly.
So I didn't see him having a bid week, and I'm not surprised he didn't perform.
And now he's got Gronk back with Brady back. And so Fronick has essentially gone 3-1 without his top player.
Right.
That's pretty big. And now that he's looking like he's full strength, and he's still got John Brown, who I have no idea what to expect from that guy this year, but he put up points last week, and he's got Kyle Rudolph now, who's a solid tight end behind Gronk. So I don't know. I kind of like Nick's team going forward.
Yeah. Going back to Jordan's team, his only viable flex option is Philip Dorsett. He's got two L's in his name. I think Pip would probably be very upset about that. but that's all he's got. I mean, he lost Langford from the Bears. Lost Langford, and so he doesn't have an RB2. And so he's playing Wendell Smallwood and Damian Williams. I mean, those, I don't know if he's messing with people again, or if he really doesn't like David Johnson on Thursday night against the Niners defense, but he's got Alfred Morris as a backup. Dez probably won't play. Smallwood is a backup, but I'm assuming he's thinking, well, the Eagles are going to have a big week against the Lions defense, so I might as well put him in. And then he's got Macklin on the bye. I don't know what Jordan's trying to do with his team. I don't know if he's saying I'm 3-1 or I'm 1-3 and I thought I would be 4-0 at this time. I'm just going to kind of half give up, or if he's messing with us for the pod, which is not cool, dude. Yeah, that's an interesting situation that Jordan's put himself in, because he was banking so hard on Johnson and Langford being his guys. So to lose one of them like that is really tough. Looking at Fronick's team, Hyde's the go-to guy in San Francisco, and the Cardinals' defense could potentially shut him down. Devontae Freeman could easily be shut down by the Broncos' defense on the road. Crabtree is probably going to get the most attention from the Chargers' defense, essentially as the first wide receiver. I'm not sure how good the Chargers' secondary really is, so that could be a problem if they could maybe shut him down, or Amari Cooper finally has a big week. And then John Brown at flex is interesting because he's been so bad for so long, and finally Fronick sits him, and he goes for 19. So you think maybe, okay, I got to play him again, but then you're burning your flex on Thursday night, which I think is interesting because Darren Sproles, if Ryan Matthews doesn't play, is a lead back and a great option in a PPR league like we're in to play. Jerick McKinnon is the number one back in Minnesota. And Cameron Artis Payne could possibly split time with Fozzie Whitaker. If the Panthers can't play Cam Newton and they go with Derek Anderson, then I think they become a run-heavy team. That game's all the way on Monday. And the Niners' defense has shown that in primetime they can shut people down like they did against the Rams week one. It is the Rams, but all of a sudden the Rams are 3-1 and they're a decent team. I would be very skeptical to start a flex player on Thursday night, but I don't think that Fronick would sit. I mean, Carlos Hyde is also locked. So then you're saying, is Darren Sproles against Detroit a better play than Devontae Freeman against Denver? Because that's the only place he would be able to move him in.
Wow, I never really saw that. But yeah, Nick has a lot of Thursday and Monday players this week. And
yeah,
that's always tough to work around. And yeah, you're right. He's got to make that decision pretty soon. I mean, yeah, having three of your players play on that first Thursday.
No Carson Palmer either. So Carson, I mean, it could be that. I don't even know the Cardinals quarterback at this time, but
Derek Anderson, I believe, yeah.
Right. So Anderson could just rely on Larry Fitzgerald, or they could stick with the run game with David Johnson. And John Brown could be forgotten again. He could be another guy who goes for under two. And then you've burned your flex. And that's a spot where you're trying to sub in, you know, someone last minute working at matchups. And I'm not sure. I mean, he's been so inconsistent. And then he finally had, I mean, he had more receptions in last week's game against the Rams than he did the entire season.
If it were me, I would not be playing John Brown this week. I don't know. Just because, like you said, I mean, the first 3 weeks were average.
He's got Kyle Rudolph, too, that he's not playing.
Kyle Rudolph has been extremely consistent. His worst game has been 8.5 as a tight end. Whereas John Brown, first 2 weeks, didn't even put up 2 points.
Right.
So I don't know. That's tough. And also, like you said, McKinnon and Sproles, I like both of them at the flex this week, too. So
Sproles especially if Matthews doesn't play.
Exactly. So this is I think he's got some thinking to do about who he plays in that flex position.
I'm sure he wasn't thinking about it, and he probably won't think about it until he hears this, which will come out. Well, I'll post this later tonight, so he might have time.
I don't even know if he's been listening to them, to be honest.
Oh, boy. Classic Froning.
Who knows?
Classic Froning.
Who knows?
Jordan also got a lot of his points last week from his receivers. Marvin Jones can get back into that 17-plus range, I think, again this week.
Yeah.
I don't see Steve Smith having a big week like he did. The Cameron Brate pickup is interesting. I think he's a solid option for Jameis Winston, and he's a decent tight end play. Demaryius Thomas at flex with Macklin at the bye. I just don't know what Jordan's doing. I think he's trolling us, and I think he's going to make us look like fools. But if he's legitimately trying to play this lineup against Froning, I think he's throwing the game.
Well, yeah, if he plays this lineup, I don't know. If you play a guy that has a bye week in your starting lineup, there should be some kind of a penalty in this league, I believe.
He should automatically lose.
Because, you know, if he's going to play strong rosters against other teams and then do that against others, that's not really fair. But I can't imagine Jordan would actually do that. I think that what he's going to end up doing is he's going to put Demaryius into his receiver spot. He's going to move Johnson up instead of Williams, and then he'll have to put Dorsett or somebody off the waivers at his flex.
Yeah, I don't think he can play Smallwood. He certainly can't play Damian Williams. Like, that's not
exactly. –
Alfred Morris
know.
Is a better backup running back to play over Damian Williams. I don't know. Right now it's projected Froning by 16. If Jordan is tossing this game, then he's going to try his hardest to lose, so then Froning will win. If Jordan actually tries, I'd like the team that I think he can put out, and so I'll take Jordan by like 6 or more in that one because Froning's opponent rankings are too tough.
That's true, yeah. Froning's running backs are definitely not going to put up the numbers they did last week, I don't think. And I don't think Crabtree will put up as much as he did.
No.
So, yeah, I think if Jordan puts in his strongest possible lineup, I think he can get a win this week as well.
And finally, we have Tim Demaryius Targaryen versus Luke, saved by Lev Bell. That Lev Bell fell to Luke in the draft. He waited out a three-week-long suspension, put up a 20 spot that was enough to get the win on Monday night for him. A couple big weeks from guys that should have big weeks, Lev Bell, A.J. Green, Jimmy Graham, who he accidentally held on to, I think, because nobody wanted him, then just got enough where Lev could save the day. Tim, you were on the other end of a close matchup, losing to Duncan's team, who he's talked about. Considering the Bears and Lions game wasn't 77-74, Brian Hoyer did an okay spot with Philip Rivers on your or Aaron Rodgers on your bench, not Philip Rivers. Your newly traded for weapon was only limited to 2 points. Pip is got the hot hand for trading guys right before they get hurt, because he did that with Dez Bryant too. And Matt Jones had his biggest week of the season on your bench. Now, before the matchups, are you with me on the Ravens bandwagon as being the worst team in the world for cutting Forsett for no essential reason, pretty much?
I mean, they gave him like 16 carries a game, and then all of a sudden they're just
cutting him.
And they cut him, brought him back, made him the lead back, and then cut him.
Yep.
I don't understand that at all.
It's because Kenneth Dixon is coming back, and apparently they think him and Terrence West are the future. But second time this season, gets cut, this time for good. And your guy Luke has the guy who potentially could be the starter. So this week you miss out on Jimmy Graham, had a big week last week. You do get Le'Veon Bell, who has a week-long tune-up. What do you think of your matchup here?
Boy, oh boy. Well, I'll start off, talk about my team just a little bit. I started off 2-0, 0-2 since. I'm definitely trending down. My team, as I feel like a lot of people feel about their team, just because everyone's harder on their own team than others, but they're letting me down in a way. I feel like my team's just a big question mark right now. I'm really searching for answers in a lot of areas. I felt really strong about it, especially after week one. I won week two only because I played Pip. I would have lost, I believe, to everybody else. I could easily be 1-3 or 0-4 right now. And then again, I only lost by 10 the past 2 weeks. So, and like, and if I had played Matt Jones last week in my flex instead of, I don't even remember who I played in my flex. I believe it was Sharp.
Yep.
I would have won the matchup. So lots of ups and downs. It all comes down to who I've been starting. Rodgers, McCoy, and Brown will continue to carry me all year, and they'll continue to be my only three solid, like, players that I know are going to give me points.
Yep.
90% of the weeks that they play. Losing Dante Moncrief has been the biggest hit on my team. I need him back. When I had him in, it certainly helps because I don't have a strong, I guess I would say, wide receiver three right now slash flex right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have, yeah, if I have Moncrief right now, he's in my wide receiver three spot, and then I can drop Inunua down to my flex, which I feel like is more solid than what I have now. Moncrief got hurt in week two. His diagnosis was 4 to 6 weeks out, and Antonio Brown has a bye on week eight. I'm certainly looking ahead. I would like to have him back in order to play for Antonio Brown's bye week. I don't know. I mean, Forsett trade didn't work out for me. I certainly wish I wouldn't have made that trade, but it was a tough decision, especially with the amount of carries and touches he was getting. The Sims for Crowder trade right now, Sims scored 2.5 and Crowder scored 3.1 last week, so it didn't really help either of us last week. But Crowder definitely has more upside, I feel like. So I'm not happy with the two trades I've made, but I don't feel like they've devastated my team necessarily either. The Titans offense is certainly not helping Tajae Sharpe. In preseason and in week one, he had the most targets, so I was really feeling good about him, and he's been going down each week.
Yeah.
So until Marcus and just the entire Titans offense, their passing offense, I should say, wins my trust back, I don't know when I'm going to put Sharp back in my lineup. My tight end spot is a question mark right now as well. I don't have Antonio Gates. He's been hurt for the past 2 weeks. Gary Barnage, I feel like, is okay. He's playing against New England this week, which I really don't like that much. So I'm certainly looking around, seeing if that's who I'm going to go with this week. And then Sims, is he going to play? How many more weeks is he even going to be the guy? He's got a bye week, week six, so I don't even get to use him next week. So if I don't get any points out of him this week, then that was essentially a terrible, terrible trade for me. anyway, down to Luke's team. I got to say, I really liked the name change, Luke. I'm a big Saved by the Bell fan, and I think that it's very apropos to your team. You truly are saved by Le'Veon Bell, and it showed last week as you took down Jared, who's now no longer undefeated. And Le'Veon Bell, I believe, put up 20, which absolutely was a difference maker. Also, AJ Green absolutely went off.
Yeah.
Luke's team is now very scary. He scored more than me the past 4 weeks, so I'm certainly not very confident going into this week. Green and Hilton and Edelman, I believe, are all solid right now, especially with Tom Brady back and AJ Green. I mean, yeah, he had one bad week, week two, but other than that, he's going to put up points every week. T.Y. Hilton is getting, I believe, more catches than the next, like, four guys combined, or the most targets, that is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And any San Diego receivers are good to have right now just because there's so many hurt. I mean, the Chargers have no Woodhead, no Keenan Allen, no Antonio Gates right now.
Yeah.
So I like Tyrell Williams in as his flex, especially going against Oakland this week. I don't know. It's just not looking great for me this week. As much as I want to come on here and holler about my team, this is a big week for me. I'm either going to lose my third straight or I'm going to get back in the hunt, so to speak.
Yeah. Alshon Jeffrey, I think, has a bigger week now that Kevin White is out, although Eddie Royal and Zach Miller could have bigger weeks for the Bears also. But Julian Edelman, season uptick with Brady coming back. So I think your top two receivers for both of your teams, essentially kind of, it's a wash. And then his advantage for you is that you've got to play Inunua, your three, Charles Sims at your flex, and he's got Edelman and Tyrell Williams. And that's, like you said, that's the big difference. Tajae Sharpe, the Titans are just running the ball like mad, so he's not getting the targets. I don't think anyone in that offense is doing as well as I thought they would.
Except for DeMarco Murray.
Right. the running back, too, I think is one of the spots that you have an advantage at. Obviously, Antonio and Aaron Rodgers as well. But Matt Jones, I think, is a better running back, too, at that spot. 117 and a touchdown last week compared to Gio Bernard, who came down, is having an average week again. He had the big uptick against Pittsburgh when he caught all those passes. He had 100 yards receiving. So he's getting a lot of receptions. That's helping his PPR, but other than that, he's not really a good running back. I keep saying that every week about Luke's team because it's really the only weakness that he has. The only upside is that if Kenneth Dixon comes back and wins over the starting job in Baltimore in a couple weeks, then he'll have a solid running back option there. But yeah, in the end, like you said, it's Luke's four wide receivers over your three, essentially, and then you got some question marks at flex. I think Luke wins again, and unfortunately the podcast bump doesn't live on.
Well, I sure hope you're wrong about that. I would have to agree, unfortunately, if I'm being a honest analyst. I think Luke has the edge, but I will say this. I think I have big name players on my roster that just haven't gone off yet, and they're bound to eventually. Jeffrey, I'm looking at you. So, if I can have big weeks from Rodgers, if Matt Jones continues to get the touches that he's getting and McCoy and Brown are putting up what they are putting up, I think I'll at least be in the hunt to make this a competitive matchup.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one to pay attention to for the rest of Sunday. So thanks for being on, Tim.
Thanks
really
for having me.
Appreciate you coming in.
It's been great being back, and good luck to everybody this week.
It's time to welcome in the Cellar Arse of the league. It's a real shame because he's the only guy that's honored Harambe with his team name. It's Pip, Darius Hayward Harambe Watch. Welcome back to the pod, Pip.
Oh, hey, man. Yeah, it's been a tough week, but it's good to be back on the pod. I love your work. You've been doing a great job. And for those of you guys listening, we're recording this on Wednesday night. So Rick's, he's missing the big game. I understand, Rick, if you want to keep an eye on that Arkansas State-Georgia Southern score, but you know, we got to talk fantasy basketball right now. I'm really excited. The season's about to start again. I'm ready to defend my title. I'm interested to see, you know, what your rankings are for the start of the season here.
Yeah. All right. Fantasy Hooper it is then. Let's start with, let's just move on with the matchups then. Let's start with Fulhauschka, still undefeated, taking on Something About Mariota. Managed to only score 88 points and get the win. That was Brandon Scott. Got a typical 2016 performance out of Golden Tate, leaving Duke Johnson on his bench. Although Julian Edelman was the guy who got sent to Luke in that trade, they got the same amount of points, so it really didn't matter. Really an interesting trade. I didn't have any thoughts on it one way or the other, but I'm just glad that I didn't have to get Golden Tate really a couple weeks ago when he didn't trade him to me for Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, I guess we're not going to talk about fantasy basketball. I guess we still care about fantasy football.
Slightly, yeah.
Fine. I guess I will have to talk about that. Yeah, so that trade was highway robbery, I think is what I would describe it as. It made no sense to me when I first saw it. On Scott's behalf, I mean, Golden Tate and Duke Johnson for Julian Edelman. I was doing some research. I was looking at Golden Tate because I think I felt like it was common knowledge that, you know, Golden Tate, he was having a bad season and, you know, was falling out of favor in Detroit. But looking at some of the guys, you know, that had scored more points than him is pretty amazing. Honestly, he's only averaged 4.5 points per game. Some of the guys, you know, Scott could have traded for and would have had a better season so far include Brandon LaFell, his homie, Seth Roberts, a Raider, A-Rob. Do you know who A-Rob is, Rick?
Is that Aaron Robinson? Robinson?
It's not Aaron Robinson. Allen Robinson is an answer, but also Aldrick Robinson.
Ah, Old Rick Robinson.
Aldrick Robinson. Fun fact, he was a two-star prospect out of Waxahachie High School in Texas.
Is he a tight end who used to play basketball? Because, you know, Tony Gonzalez was, he played college basketball, and he's also a tight end, and that's kind of, he uses those basketball skills to really improve his football game. That's why he dunks when he scores touchdowns.
Well, that's an interesting fact. I didn't know that. I've never heard that before, but Aldrick Robinson is listed as a wide receiver.
Oh, never mind.
So,
that.
I don't know. Are you really a Falcons fan?
No, I'm not. I'm okay. Just in it for the love of Julio, really.
Anyway, yeah, so we have the A-Rob 2.0, Aldrick Robinson. Marquise Goodwin from the Buffalo Bills. He has 4 receptions on the season and has outscored Golden Tate. And then my favorite guy is Adam Thielen from the Vikings. He's a white guy who made the team from an open tryout from Minnesota State, Montanko. And his fun fact, he was the 2014 Pro Football Focus All-Pro Special Teams Kick Return Unit player.
Wow.
So all of these guys that I just mentioned have had a better season so far than Golden Tate. And Scott just traded Julian Edelman, who I'll admit he hasn't had a very good start to the season. But Brady's back this week, and Edelman's going to get, I mean, at least 10 targets, you'd think. Probably 7 or 8 receptions. And, you know, I feel like guaranteed at least 12 points a game, probably. And Scott's giving that up for an unknown in Golden Tate for the rest of the year. I mean, who knows how well he's going to do. And Duke Johnson, who, okay, fair, he's a good PPR running back. But he's not worth, you know, what Julian Edelman is. And Scott's wide receivers this week, he's left with Benjamin Woods and Britt. I know the other A-Rob is on a bye, but, you know, it's I think in the long run, it's going to really hurt Scott personally.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't looked at that trade that way. I just knew, I mean, I felt like Luke just kind of had the dump Golden Tate for almost anything. Edelman had kind of been underwhelming. There's also, I mean, Gronk could get more targets in that offense since he's healthy. And, you know, Brady's back there, top 2 targets. That's why I thought that the trade was really just kind of, it was nothing to me. I don't know. I didn't think of it one way or another. I was just sad that Scott lost his wide receiver. Like, he doesn't have anyone now.
Well, yeah, but he makes up for that by having 2 really good tight ends. So
that is true.
So, yeah.
Well,
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out for him.
Yeah. On to the matchup. Scott against Andrew. Andrew put up a league low at 77, and it's pretty hard to score when your number one wide receiver only has 1 catch. DeSean Jackson, 1 catch for 5 yards. He didn't start Hunter Henry or Zach Miller, who both went more than Delanie Walker and his flex last week. Andrew is the king of the bench points. Looking at this week, Scott has 5 players on bye. You also have 5 players on bye. We'll talk about your matchup later. Andrew can play essentially his full squad on his bench if he wants to, and Scott is going to be trying to match Andrew in bench points, leaving both Golden Tate and Matt Ryan on his bench this week, going instead with Dookie Johnson at the flex. Not a pretty matchup when you look at this. What do you think about it?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's not pretty. Word of advice for Andrew, I would not play his entire bench, start them, because that would end up really ugly. But looking at Andrew's team, he is officially the lowest scoring team in the league, and I'm happy to say that it's not me. He has scored 0.8 points less than I have. So that's, for me, that's a victory. But Andrew's team, you know, he's only scored over 100 once, and that was the week that he beat Luke. He's coming off a terrible week where he scored only 13 points combined from his wide receivers, which is a real surprise when you have DeAndre Hopkins on your roster. I would say that Andrew and I's teams are pretty clearly the weakest. You know, looking at Andrew's squad, it's tough. DeSean Jackson is super boom or bust. Tavon Austin is super boom or bust. I mean, if they go off, you know, Andrew will have a chance to win, but most weeks, I'd say like 2 out of every 3 weeks, maybe even 3 out of every 4 weeks, they're going to put up numbers like they did last week, where DeSean Jackson had one catch for 5 yards and Tavon Austin had two catches for 14 yards. So, I mean, you know, maybe they go off. I don't see it really happening. But it's really, really weird to see what's happened to DeAndre Hopkins this year. You know, I don't know if there's something wrong with him and Brock. Fuck Arizona State. Sorry, can I say the F word?
You did, so.
Well, okay, sorry. Screw Arizona State. SoCal Brocal. But he's got a really bad matchup this week against Minnesota. They've shut down Kelvin and Odell the last couple weeks.
Yep.
So I don't think that outlook looks great for Hopkins this week. Forte is questionable with injuries. Floyd doesn't have Palmer throwing to him. I think the bright spot on Andrew's team this week is going to be Phillip Rivers against the Raiders secondary. Fun fact about Phillip Rivers, in 2007, Chris Harry of the Orlando Sentinel said that, quote, "I don't think anyone can ever accuse Phillip Rivers of being soft." So I think that bodes well for Andrew this week. But in terms of Andrew's team, I really think he needs to make some trades. The waiver wire is really thin. So for Andrew's team, I don't think it's going to be a very good week, and he needs to do something about it soon. As for Scott, would you agree with – is that – you know, what do you think about that for Andrew's team?
Yeah, I agree. I think Forte and Crowell are in bad offenses. I think Cleveland's going to be trying to run the ball, and that's really going to hurt Crowell. The Jets might not have the ball very much if Fitzpatrick is throwing interceptions. Michael Floyd can be forgotten in that offense. I think David Johnson's going to have a big week running the ball against the Niners. DeSean Jackson is a coin toss, and the Vikings are shutting everyone down. So unless Brock Osweiler is the guy who breaks that streak of, you know, finally having a good week against the Vikings defense, I don't see that happening. I think it'll be, I mean, obviously better than 0.9, but DeAndre Hopkins is going to be limited to probably under 50 yards, maybe probably not a score. My only gripe with either team is that they're both matching each other with crap LA Ram receivers. Tavon Austin and Kenny Britt should not be played at all. Andrew, you have left a billion points from Zach Miller and Hunter Henry on your bench. Miller went for 23 against me 2 weeks ago. He had three catches, 31 yards, a touchdown last week. Not to mention Hunter Henry is actually like the starting tight end in San Diego. You should freaking know this, you Charger fan, unless you're so drunk that you've, you know, drunk away your liver, you can't pay attention anymore. Like, you can't start Tavon Austin. It doesn't matter if he goes for a boom. And, I mean, Delanie Walker and the Titans' passing offense isn't great either. Both of those guys, you need to sit. And you have guys who are better that can replace them, and you need to replace them. And it's frustrating knowing that you're leaving points on your bench, almost like you're trying to leave points on your bench. And then Scott matching with Kenny Britt is also pretty bad, especially when you traded for Golden Tate and he's sitting on your bench. Because, I mean, five buys aside, I mean, when you have a guy like Golden Tate who could actually have a good week, possibly, and you're going to leave him on your bench, like, you're asking to not be undefeated come Tuesday morning.
Ooh, wow. You done?
Yeah, that's what I got.
You want to take a deep breath there?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just noticed this right now. We are really missing out on what could be the greatest matchup of tight ends ever. I mean, if Travis Kelce wasn't on a bye, we could have seen Greg Olsen and Travis Kelce for Scott against Delanie Walker, and I would put in Hunter Henry in his flex for Andrew. And we could have had four tight ends in one matchup, which really...
That might be a first.
Yeah, I mean, other than in our other league, the unmentionable league, you know, we I don't think that's ever happened before, and it would really be something interesting.
Yeah,
but we're not seeing that because Kelce is on a bye, and yeah, I mean, just looking at Scott's team, I mean, all credit to him, he's 4-0, he's tied with you for the most amount of players in the top 10 at their position.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He has six, but interestingly, four of his guys are the number one at their position. So that's Matt Ryan, DeMarco Murray, Greg Olsen, and the Vikings defense. And, I mean, I don't know how he's gone 4-0 without starting Matt Ryan. I know Derek Carr has been really good.
Well, isn't Derek Carr like the third best quarterback in the league?
Yeah, Derek Carr is the third best quarterback. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but it's kind of frustrating. And only Scott would find a way to go 4-0, leaving the number one quarterback on his bench each week. But, I mean, look, Scott's got really good running backs. You got to give him credit. DeMarco's, like I said, number one. He got like 25 carries or something ridiculous last week against Houston. And, yeah, he got 25 carries, 95 yards, and two touchdowns. I mean, they are feeding him the ball.
Yep.
And Lamar Miller's been really solid. He hasn't scored a touchdown yet, but he's got 80 yards each game and almost 20 carries in each game. So, you know, that's really a really good formula to win, and you just need one of your tight end or one of your receivers to go off, because Greg Olsen's usually done well. I mean, Greg Olsen might have a worse week if Cam isn't playing, but I think it's not a great matchup, but I think it's kind of clear who is the favorite to win, and I think I know who I think is going to win, even if Scott does start on paper the ugliest wide receiving core in the league. I still think he's going to win this one.
I'm sorry, I missed out on that. I turned to look at the TV and my headphone thing popped out again. Did you pick Scott?
I didn't technically pick Scott, but I will pick Scott. First of all, my hot take for this game is that Kenny Britt and Robert Woods will score less than 5 points combined.
That's fair.
And I think another hot take, Andrew scores less than 75, and Scott wins 106-73.
Yeah, I've got Scott winning. I'm picking him by 7. I think it's going to be kind of close, but I think if Derek Anderson ends up playing on Monday night, I think that does benefit Greg Olsen more, because I think the run game and going to a guy with as sure of hands as Greg Olsen has, I think is going to be a benefit to Derek Anderson. And just having your tight end, just one last guy go on Monday night is always a benefit in the back of your mind, knowing that, you know, hey, I've got one more guy to go. I can still catch up on Monday night. And I think that's why Scott stays undefeated.
Yep, I'm 100% behind that. Sorry, Andrew. I'll see you this weekend, but I don't think you have it this week.
All right, next up, it is me, the $6 million McManus, against Jared. A Rivers runs through it thanks to a solid 42 spot from Julio, 23 from Will Fuller the fifth, 17 from Christine Michael and Terrence West, who showed up out of nowhere to start Sunday morning. I get the move up to 500 and the highest score of the week. Jared did not stay undefeated thanks to a 20 spot on Monday night by Lev Bell and okay performances from his running backs and wide receivers. All of them together averaged under 10 points for the five of them, while Frank Gore and the Broncos defense led the way. Looking at this week, with Seattle and New Orleans on bye, my flex option is a real long stretch with Devontae Adams. Kevin White's on IR, and I lost out to Eddie Royal by one troop buck to Brandon. Also up in the air on Cam Newton, taking just about the dumbest hit I've ever seen a QB take when he got his concussion. Some tough rankings with Julio against the Broncos defense that Jared has, and he'll be starting. Jared working with pretty much the same lineup he had last week, subbing out Cole Beasley for Jordan Matthews, who is off from a bye. I am not really sure what to make of my matchup. Every week I go into it, and I try and be as fair as I possibly can, and I end up just not knowing what my matchup is going to end up being like. So give me your help here, Pip.
Well, all right. I'll start with your team, Rick, since I'm talking to you.
Sure.
I will give you credit where credit is due. I did not have faith in your team at the start of the year. I definitely think that you are one of the biggest surprises, along with Duncan. I mean, you're the second highest scoring team in the league, which is impressive. That's nothing to be ashamed of. I don't really know how you're doing it. If you would have told me Sanders and Will Fuller would be the seventh best wide receivers at this point in the year, I would have told you to shoot me. It's just not something I would have predicted. Like I said, you got six players in the top 10 at their position. All of them, all of your starting wide receivers are top 10. I think Sanders and Fuller are 7, and Julio's number 1, obviously, after his monster week last week. But yeah, I mean, you bounced back well from your first two games, your first two losses. I mean, you've scored a lot of points each week, so that's a good formula win. You're going to get those weeks where you get outscored. But if you score 120 each week like you have, or at least near it, you're putting yourself in a position to win. So I will give you credit on that.
As well, for this matchup,
as for this matchup, I think I'm not sure if it's a positive or a negative that you don't have to deal with your Seattle wide receivers this week. I mean, Rawls is out injured, but so you would just be starting Christine Michael. Christian. Fun fact about Christian Michael. His mom said that she wanted a girl before she had her kid, and so she came up with a name before her kid was born. So she went with Christine, and then she popped out a little boy named Christine, and so that's why he's called Christian and is spelled Christine. But anyway, that's a fun fact about Christine Michael. He's not starting this week. He's on bye.
Right.
I mean, your running backs, Baltimore's running back situation is a mess. I don't know, you know, what they were doing or have been doing with Justin Forsett. That made no sense to me. Still doesn't make any sense to me. Eddie Lacy has been not great again. So I think your wide receivers are going to have to carry you, especially if Cam's out. But you do have the benefit of having Jameis on your bench, coincidentally or not, since they're playing on Monday night. That's really going to help you.
Yeah.
You don't have to kind of force a guy in on Sunday that you don't want to play. You can wait and see if Cam's going to play or not. But, yeah, I mean, Julio's got a tough matchup with Denver. Cards D against the Niners, I think that will help you for sure and maybe give you a little bit of, you know, positivity going into the week if they have a good Thursday night, but who knows? And I mean, Davante Adams, woo, Palo Alto's finest. I mean, I don't think he's had a good game since he went off against Valley in that championship, or when he went off against San Jose State that one time for Fresno. But yeah, I do like your team, Rick, when it's fully healthy and you got all your guys in there, and you don't have any buys or any of that crap. So I don't know if it's going to be your week just because of that. What do you think about Jared's team?
Yeah, looking at Jared's team, I think the biggest game for this matchup is that Denver-Atlanta game, because it's really going to test how good the Falcons' offense is, because the Broncos, I mean, toughest, best defense in the NFL, and it's going to be the toughest defense that the Falcons face or have faced so far, and that's really going to test this offense. It's also going to test the defense, which has been doing okay with Robert Alford and Desmond Trufant kind of taking down the top targets for wide receivers. And I think it comes down to, can the Falcons stop the run? And is C.J. Anderson going to have a huge game? Or are they going to decide they're not going to stop the run, C.J. Anderson has a huge game, or they're going to not stop the pass, and then Sanders and Demaryius Thomas just kind of, Paxton Lynch or Trevor Siemian just kind of picks their favorite guy, and then they have a big game. That game is really interesting to me. I think that's Dak Prescott against Cincinnati. That's a tough defense for him. He's been putting up decent numbers. I don't think he goes off or anything like he did against the Bears, obviously. Todd Gurley has had a rough start, and Buffalo's defense has shown that they can kind of shut people out like they did against Arizona. Frank Gore somehow is still going and going, and against Chicago.
Frank Gore is so solid. He is such a good player.
Yeah.
I don't know how he keeps doing it.
It is absolutely just shocking. And I think against the Bears defense, he's going to get some catches. He's going to get his yards and his goal line touches, and that worries me, especially since at my flex, because Michael Thomas is on a bye. I picked up Davante Adams. I'm just hoping that maybe Aaron Rodgers goes target happy and he goes after everyone. And maybe Davante Adams has a couple big catches or something. Again, Jared using my Falcons against me. Jordan last week played Jacob Tammy, and now I have to go up against Matt Bryant. Like, that's not chill, dude. But I think Jared is really starting the best team he possibly can. Other than Russell Wilson at quarterback, who's on a bye, I don't like Jared's bench all that much. Byes aside, I think he's starting just about the best guys that he can. I think it's going to be really tight. I'm not sure how really any of my guys are going to perform. They're all kind of facing middle of the road defenses, with the exception of Julio Jones, who's facing the best defense. So, I mean, it could go either way, really.
Yeah, I completely agree with you about that Denver-Atlanta matchup. I mean, there's five guys playing in that game, combined for your two teams starting. So definitely the outcome of that game is going to greatly impact your game. I'm going to go out and say that Jared's roster is my favorite in the league. I don't know if you agree with that. Who's your favorite team?
Oh, gosh. I looked at everyone's roster, and I can't really remember any of them other than the two I'm looking at right now.
Good.
I mean, Jared's got a solid team. Like, I like his team, especially when you plug in Russell Wilson. Gurley, C.J. Anderson are solid running backs. Evans, Amari Cooper are number one targets. Jordan Matthews is a solid receiver to have. Eric Ebron and Julius Thomas are kind of meh at tight end, but then you got Frank Gore at flex, the best Bronco defense with the Broncos. I guess he's kind of plugging in kickers, and this week he's gone with Matt Bryant, who's a solid option. But again, I don't know if the Falcons will be scoring, so maybe Matt Bryant takes a zero at the kicker spot, but kickers generally, they don't mean shit. So he's got a really solid team. I mean, he was undefeated going into last week for a reason, and he lost by 4 or 5 because Le'Veon Bell put up 20. So it's not like he had a terrible week and that's why he lost. He's got a solid team. He put up a lot of points. He's put himself in a good position.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And for me, the solid team is the best team. I mean, his running backs are by far and away the best in the league with – Gurley, I know Gurley hasn't done that well so far. It seems like a lot of teams are just stacking the box, 8 or 9 guys. But having said that, the Rams are starting to win. And as the more the Rams win, the more teams are going to have to respect the run game and the pass. Because, I mean, if you look at their wide receiver numbers, you know, they all have like 2 catches a game. But they're catching bombs for 60, 70 yards because, you know, there's no secondary out there because they're all stacking the box against Gurley. So teams are going to have to respect that more. And I think that's going to open up the running game for Gurley more, maybe in the pass game for him. I mean, I feel like they should use him in the pass game more. They don't really as much as they should. But then C.J. Anderson's a workhorse in Denver. He's just a really solid option. He should get like 50 yards and a touchdown, something around that, you know, a game at least, probably more yards and maybe without the touchdown. But fun fact about C.J. Anderson, C.J. stands for Cortrell Javon. I bet you didn't know that.
I did not know that. That is the third fun fact that you've dropped on me that I've learned today. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I'm full of them. But yeah, and like I said, Frank Gore is really solid. Russell Wilson, if he's healthy, is a really good starting quarterback. Amari, Jared has dodged a bullet this week with Amari. Usually the number one receiver, I mean, it depends. I don't know if Cooper or Crabtree is the number one. People can argue who's number one and who isn't. I would still say that Cooper is. But Cooper would have been facing Jason Verrett from the Chargers this week. But in true Charger fashion, Verrett has a partially torn ACL, so he won't be able to, at least I don't think he's going to be able to play. And Verrett has already shut down A-Rob from the Jags and Brandon Cooks. So, you know, Cooper is in good position this week to put up a lot of numbers against the Chargers, along with Evans against Carolina, who just gave up 42 to Julio. So I think Jared's in for a really good week. My only weak spot with him is at tight end. I mean, Eric Ebron, the Lions just aren't playing that well. So I don't know if he's the best best guy, but Julius is on bye, so he can't play him. But yeah, I just think Jared's team is really, really solid. It's looking good now, and barring any major injuries to one of those running backs and to Evans or Cooper, I think he's my favorite to finish first at the end of the regular season. So yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be close. It's going to be a really close matchup. I think Mike Evans, you know, probably goes. I think he's going to go 2 touchdowns, 130 yards against Carolina. I think they're going to be shaken up from Julio's, you know, just owning him. So yeah, I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. But Jared wins because his running backs are just too good for you, Rick. Like, I'd say 132. So, I mean, you scored 120, so I'll give you 120. 132 to 120.
All right. Yeah, like I talked about with Tim and Fronik's matchup, is that with Crabtree, I think he's going to actually take more attention and be seen as a number one target by the San Diego offense. So him in that matchup, I didn't like Crabtree having obviously a 3-touchdown game, not again. But I think that does open the door for Cooper. And again, with Cam Newton being questionable, I also have Jameis Winston. I have that option to be able to plug in where, I mean, the Panthers' defense isn't what it was last year. So I think while Winston is kind of an INT machine, I still think he's going to get his touchdowns, and that would limit the pain of, you know, Evans getting a lot of touchdowns. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's true. I didn't really, I kind of overlooked that. You know, if you do have to start Jameis, you will be splitting points with Mike Evans. So that's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Although if your game is close, you might want to drop Winston and pick up Derek Anderson if Derek Anderson's starting. So you don't have to split points. Or if you're losing by a lot, or maybe not by a lot, but if you're losing by about 10, you might want to take that risk of dropping Winston, picking up Anderson. That way you know you're not just going to be point for point with Mike Evans along the way. So.
Yeah,
I mean that's a bold play. I don't know if it's the best play unless you really plan on using Jameis Winston a lot in the future. I don't know when Carolina's bye is, so yeah, it's going to be
week 7.
Be close. Oh, they're week 7. Oh, you might want to hang on to him. I don't know, but yeah, it's. I think it's poised to be one of the better matchups this week for sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. I didn't pick a winner. I couldn't see.
You got to pick a winner.
I think it will be Jared. I think he's got the better team. Like you said, his running backs are better than mine. I have tough matchups with my top receivers, with Jones and Fuller. Devontae Adams is a huge stretch. That could be an easy zero. So yeah, I think it'll be Jared. I hope I can continue my high scoring and output somehow. I just hope I don't get embarrassed and Evans and Cooper and Matthews all for some reason put up like 35 plus or something.
You got no faith, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
No faith at all.
Speaking of no faith, last and least, Pip, you get Brandon. You almost escaped going 0-4, but Stephon Diggs scored just too many points. And most importantly, you picked a bad week to start Jameson Crowder instead of Inman. Not a great time to trade. You picked a great time to trade Sims, and before that, Dez. Brandon, we talked about early, underperformed, had the second lowest scoring total of the week. But it's okay because the Broncos beat the Buccaneers, so that's all that matters. Pip, you are working with 5 buys to deal with. And I honestly, just like my matchup, I have no idea what to think of yours matchup. I kind of need to hear what you think so then I know what I need to think.
Okay. Well, let's start with Brandon's team. I'll give Brandon some airtime here. But I'll first start with Brandon's team, relating it back to my team. So I've been really, really screwed at the start of this year by players who I owned last year just going off against me. Week 1, Willie Snead, and formerly of Ario Sneedwagon, and Derek Carr for Scott, both put up like 50 points against me combined. Like when I played Duncan, Jordy Nelson scored about 30 points, which really, really hurt. I mean, that's the most painful. And then last week, in my heartbreaking loss to Austin, Jordan Reed snakes two touchdowns from Jamison Crowder. And, you know, Jordan Reed puts up 25, which is what he was doing for me in the playoffs last year. So those have really, really hurt. Having said that, I'm playing Brandon. Brandon doesn't have a player on his roster that I've owned before. So maybe things are looking up. Having said that, I did lose the really, really intense bidding war for Eddie Royal. I don't know if you've looked at the numbers, but Brandon got him with 10. Rick, you offered 9 for him.
Yep.
Nick Fronik actually put in 2 bids for him at $8 and $5.
What?
Yeah.
Was he trying to bid 13 and didn't know how?
I don't know, but he's in there as 8 and 5. And then Jared put in a bid at 5 also, and then I didn't really want him, so I put in like a $3 bid for him. But yeah, so maybe Eddie Royal's going to go off this week. But anyway, looking at this matchup more in depth, I mean, the first thing you look at when you look at Brandon's roster is his injuries. He's just, I don't know what he's done, who he's pissed off, because, I mean, Palmer's out. Watkins, he's dropped and went on IR. Decker's questionable. I don't know if he's going to play or not. I'm fortunate enough to face him when Tevin Coleman has his sickle cell stuff, so he can't play in high altitude.
Yeah, that's very strange.
And, yeah, well, I mean, it's not really strange, Rick. It's a medical problem.
Well, I've just,
that he was born with.
I've never heard of it before, and I totally understand if he doesn't play, because obviously his health is more important than a football game, but I've never heard it before with anyone going to Denver before. So it's just new
to me.
There
was a couple years ago, the Steelers played I think it might have been the Tebow game, when the Steelers played the Broncos in Mile High, and some linebacker, some guy on the defense for the Steelers had sickle cell, and he like almost died because his spleen lungs collapsed. I don't know what it was, but something bad happened, and, you know, I don't know. I guess playing in the thin air, you know, hurts. Doesn't make sickle cell very good. But anyway, that helps me, because now he's starting Eddie Royal in his flex, and Eddie Royal didn't even practice today. So, and Latavius and LeGarrette are also questionable. So I think Brandon's team has just really, really been bit by the injury bug. Obviously, the first 4 weeks of the year, he's 1-3. He's the fourth lowest scoring team in the league. He hasn't been able to play Jamaal Charles. Fun fact about Jamaal Charles. Jamaal Charles went to the University of Texas. Did you know that?
No. Is that the
He went to the... That's half the fact.
Okay.
He went to the University of Texas at the same time as Philadelphia Phillies great Ramron Cupp.
Wow.
Otherwise known as Cameron Rupp.
The Ramron.
Ramron Cupp.
What?
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. But yeah, so I mean, I can't complain about who he's starting. He doesn't really have many options. You know, Fitzgerald, he doesn't have Palmer. Martellus Bennett is really interesting, because Brady's coming back and Gronk hasn't been himself yet. I don't know if Gronk's going to magically be better now that Brady's back, but Bennett, he might really, really benefit from Gronk not being 100%, especially as Cleveland. Latavius Murray, I mean, I love the guy. He has been really good in the past, but he's slowly losing a lot of carries. And he's kind of been saved by touchdowns, so he'll probably go for 2 touchdowns this week against me on like 11 carries for 30 yards. So that would hurt. I mean, Odell, he's being a whiny little girl about everything, so I really hope he doesn't do very well against Green Bay. I mean, just stop complaining about people being out to get you. You know, that's what happens when you're in the spotlight, and that's what happens when you're one of the best receivers in the game. You know, he's complaining about, you know, football isn't fun anymore. Well, you know, Brandon has fantasy games to win, and he can't afford, you know, that sour attitude. So I think Brandon's team is hurting. I think Brandon's team is really, really hurting. It's not looking good for him. And Joe Flacco's his quarterback. He'll probably go for like less than 10 points. So, I mean, the Rams against Buffalo might be good, but I think Brandon's team is just not looking very good right now. And, you know, it's really fortunate for him that he's playing me this week.
Oh, jeez. That's pretty terrible. Yeah, I'm looking at your team here, and your running backs are in a tough spot. Aaron Foster, questionable. Theo Riddick, I mean, he's a number one, but he's mostly pass catching because Detroit is falling behind, so they got to throw the ball. Jarvis Landry is your highest started percentage-wise player on your team at 84%, and Dontrell Inman is maybe one of your best bet to get a lot of points this week. At your flex. What else here? Brandon, on the other hand, Larry Fitz, I think, is going to get crazy targets in that Thursday night game with Drew Stanton playing. I think he's going to look at that and see, there's, you know, my reliable veteran wide receiver with great hands. I think he gets a lot of catches, or certainly a lot of targets. It's just a matter of, is he getting a lot of catches? Is he getting a lot of yards as well? What else?
Yeah, I think that game on Thursday is going to be pretty ugly.
Yeah, it could get bad real quick. Eddie Royal being the new number two, assuming he can play. If he doesn't, I'm guessing Jason Witten comes in at tight end. I would almost start Witten over Bennett. I have Bennett as just a long, long stretch play at tight end with the Gronk and the Brady back. Terrell Pryor is really the only Brown worth owning. He's probably the best Brown since Jim Brown. And is a better play than any of the guys on his bench who are questionable, out, injured, or just not good plays at all, like Marcus Wheaton. I mean, we talked about a not pretty matchup with Scott and Andrew. This one is almost equally as not pretty. I think it's pretty low scoring. I think Brandon stays to form with not scoring enough. Your team had a good week last week. Some key guys on the bench, though, with Bortles and Hearns and even Spencer Ware.
And Ingram.
Yeah, and Ingram, especially Ingram. Yeah, he's in a tough spot with injuries. You're in a tough spot with buys because you've got five key guys that you really need to start that can't play. I just see this being really low scoring, and it kind of comes down to whose running backs are slightly better.
Yeah, I mean... my team, wow. It's the same story every year with my team. I draft. I feel like I don't think anybody's ever said, wow, Pip, you've got a really good team. But I feel like most people are like, wow, that's a pretty solid team. You know, there's some sneaky good players there. You might be able to do something. And then every year by week four, week three, I'm scrambling on the waiver wire. I'm scrambling to make trades because I drafted like a total idiot. I mean, just it's completely fallen apart. I thought, you know, start of the year, Dez, Landry, Cobb, my three receivers. All right, Landry's PPR, he's been really good. Dez, he's going to be great, fully healthy with Romo. Romo gets injured. Dez gets injured. Thank God I traded him away. Randall Cobb has been my worst player or most disappointing player so far. He's regressed each week. He's gone from 9.8 points to 6.8 points to 3.8 points. So I'm fully expecting a 0.8 points this week, true to form. Like I said, it's a moral victory for me that I'm not the lowest scoring team because I really think I should be. I have the longest team name, and I'm in last place, whereas the team with the shortest team name, Full House Gay, is in first place. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but
that's another fun fact.
Yeah, that's another fun fact. I don't know. Nothing has gone my way. Absolutely. I mean, okay, my trades have been decent, but they haven't actually worked. I mean, like, I probably have won the trades in terms of getting more value for my players, but they still haven't done anything for me. So, you know, I mean, I got five buys at the worst time. I don't really have any choices in terms of who to play unless I make some trades, but none of my guys have much value right now except for Jarvis Landry, and I can't trade him because he's my best player. So the thing about Landry that gets me is, you know, I like Landry, and he has a great connection with Ryan Tannehill, but the problem with that is that his quarterback is Ryan Tannehill. And Ryan Tannehill, I mean, I don't know if you watched that game against Cincinnati on last Thursday, but he just had no pocket presence. The defense was on him in seconds, and he was just, you know, chilling there, you know, as if just waiting for his players to get open, as if he had all the time in the world, but he doesn't. So that hurt. That hurt me. I mean, obviously, because I lost by so few points. This is the first year I've been streaming defenses, and that hasn't worked. I've got a combined 15 points in 4 weeks. It's just all gone wrong, and this matchup is really ugly with Brandon. I'm happy for him that he gets to play me when I'm at such a low point, and I'm happy that I get to play him at such a low point. So it's going to be a really ugly matchup. I agree with you that I don't think either team's going to score 100. I think it's going to be really, really low scoring. I think Torrey Smith on my bench probably goes for a touchdown of 50 yards receiving, probably because, you know, that's what just seems to happen to me at this point. The Eagles defense probably going to outscore the Patriots defense on my bench, even though the Patriots are going against Cleveland. I know you would say, oh, you should just start him then. Well, you know, that's just not what I'm going to do. So I think it's going to be low scoring. I think it's going to be close. I've lost any hope in this team right now. Like I said, I want to make moves, but I'm not sure really where to go. So if anybody has any trade offers that are fair and even and balanced and you're not trying to lowball me, you know, I'll take them or I'll look at them. But, yeah, I think Brandon wins by probably like 6 or 7 here. I mean, let's go 93 to like 86. I mean, I really don't expect much from this matchup. I mean, to everybody listening, don't pay attention to this matchup. Pay attention to Rick and Jared. Pay attention to your game. Don't even care about this. Just Wednesday morning or Tuesday morning, wake up and then look at the standings and you'll see who won, who lost, or even, maybe we might even tie. I don't know. But just don't pay a single amount of attention to this game at all. That's my advice. I don't even want to pay attention to it. I might not.
I initially wrote down that I thought you guys would have the second and third lowest scores of the week with Andrew bringing up the rear. And then I thought, no, that probably won't happen because I could have the second or third lowest score of the week just as easily.
You're just pessimistic, dude.
Yeah,
you got a decent team there.
But I got bad matchups this week. I'm not feeling good about my team's outlook. I thought last week you would get the win, and you just made the one roster choice, and Stephon Diggs was just good enough. This week, it comes down to the running backs. Like, how many passes is Riddick going to catch? How much garbage time carries are Murray and Blount going to get in their matchups? Because I think New England runs away with it. Oakland and San Diego is an absolute shootout that either team could run away with. I think it comes down to those two guys. How is Foster used in that lineup? Is Landry going to get his catches, his targets? Whose tight end is going to be less crap?
Foster better be healthy because I don't really have an option otherwise. In fact, I don't have an option. I'm going to have to pick someone off the waiver wire if he doesn't play. So
waiver wire is thin.
Yeah, it's not pretty. It's not going to be a good week.
Appreciate you being on and talking through the matchups and talking yourself
wait,
down.
Wait.
Okay.
Did you make a pick?
I think I managed to strategically not make a pick.
Dude, you got to make a pick. Who are you going to pick?
I'm picking Brandon. I think his running backs are a little bit better, and I think Larry Fitzgerald has a monster week, and that's going to be enough.
All right, that's 100% fair. I completely agree with you.
All right, well, thanks, Pip, for coming on, and we welcome you back. You did a great job. I enjoyed talking through the matchups, talking me up a little bit while I'm talking myself down, you talking yourself into the nice little 0-4 cave you're in. You're pretty optimistic for being 0-4, I must add. Again, you got two of the three ugliest matchups this week, I think, but I appreciate you being on and sharing everything with us.
Oh, yeah, no problem, man. Always love being on. I look forward to being back. I wish I could be up there with you guys watching the UW game this week, but we got a little SoCal BroCal party with Andrew, Jared, and Mike coming down, so that'll be a lot of fun. We'll be thinking of you. Send us a lot of snaps. Sweet. This was a lot of fun. I can't wait to be on again. Bye.
Thanks again for listening to the Semi-Products Fantasy Football Podcast. If you have more questions regarding your own fantasy lineup, pickups, trade options, or any other fantasy needs, listen to Fantasy Football Today on 95.3 The Score at 8 a.m., where you can get all of your last-minute advice, the latest on active and inactive players, and that last-minute fantasy advice Sunday morning. You can also send your tweets to @CBSFantasy using the hashtag FFT. We also have a daily podcast posted online at cbssports.com. Thanks again for listening. Best of luck to everyone in their matchups this week.